Judges chapter 6, if you have a Bible. If you don't, I'm going to read it out to you. The angel of the Lord came down and sat under the oak of Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abzarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian." The Lord turned to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of the Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" "Pardon me, my lord," Gideon replied, "but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family." And the Lord answered, "I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites." This is the situation. It's taken place in the book of Judges. Judges was a very bleak time in the time of Israel. The book of Judges begins, "In those days there was no king, and everyone did right in their own eyes." And time again we see how the Israelites, the people of God, turned away from the Lord. And as a result of that, they were given over into the hands of the enemy nations who began to oppress them, and they lost their freedom. They lost their position in the land, and they became diminished and restricted, and they became prisoners in their own nation. And this was an account where and in that time then God would rise somebody up to set the Israelites free, such as Samson, and he would become a deliverer of the nation. And in this time, Gideon was an individual, and we read that he was hiding in a wine press from the enemy. In fact, all the Israelites at that time were making homes and dens in caves and mountains because of the oppressive possession and influence of the nations around. And we read that the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon, hiding in this wine press from the enemy, and speaks to him. He's in the wine press of defeat, fear. They're feeling oppressed, they're feeling intimidated, and they're in bondage. They're not living in the full purpose and blessing and goodness that God intended for them and wants to give them. And the angel of the Lord says to Gideon, "Go in the might and in the strength I've given you and set the Israelites free. I am with you, mighty warrior." But Gideon had difficulty in seeing this. God saw him as a mighty warrior, but Gideon had difficulty in seeing. He says, "How can I go? I'm the smallest. I belong to the smallest family. I'm the smallest individual. I'm the lowest of my clan. How can you possibly use me and bless me and be with me to do this great thing?" But God saw Gideon differently. Gideon had one view of himself. God had another view of him. And I want to say this one thing. The threat, if there's any threat to you fulfilling your potential, enjoying the blessing that God has given you, walking in the freedom that he purchased for you on the cross, knowing the peace and the joy and the fullness of life that he died and rose again to give you, if there's any one thing that is going to diminish the quality of your life and my life, if there's one thing that is going to keep us in the wine press of defeat or despair, keep us in bondage to fear, stop us living the life and the victory that God has for us and can work in us and through us and for us, if there's one thing that is going to hinder us more than anything else, it's not circumstance, it's not our own physical limitations the talents that we think we have or we don't have. It's not our background and it's not our education. It's not your economic circumstance of your own personal life or even the economic circumstance of the area in which you live. These things are not a limitation to God, and they don't have to be a limitation to you and I. That one thing that is going to stop you and I living the fullness of life that God has called us to, the life that Jesus came to give, for he says, I've come to give you life in all its fullness. The one thing is what we call self-talk. What we say to ourselves, what we believe about ourselves, our self-image, our self-talk, the way we view ourselves. It will keep us in the winepress of defeat. It will keep us in a place of hiding. It will rob us from taking opportunities. It will hold us down from rising up in the presence and the power and the purposes that God has for us. It will keep us from fulfilling our potential, using our gifts, taking the little that God has given us and maximizing it into great things. Believe me, I know from personal experience, believe me, your potential, the fulfillment, the things that God can do through your life is not based upon how clever you are or what talents you have. God is with you. He is for you. If he can get it through you, he will get it to you. But what will keep you in the winepress of defeat, hiding in despair like Gideon, is not God's desire for you, but it's what we say to ourselves about ourselves. How can I possibly do this, Lord? It's just me. I'm the smallest, the weakest in the whole of the tribe of Israel. You've got to be joking. Choose somebody else. I'll just stay here in the winepress of defeat, winnowing the wheat, hiding away. Just leave me alone. There are two voices that we live with and listen to in life. And the voice that we predominantly are influenced by will be the voice that determines our future. It is either the voice of how God sees you, the view of God over you, or it's how we see ourselves. And God said to Gideon, I'm with you, mighty warrior. Or the self voice that says, it's just me, I can't do this. Choose somebody else. You've got the wrong boy, you've got the wrong girl. So I want to encourage you to analyze the voice that you are listening to, because it will affect the way you live every day, and it will affect your week, your months, your future. When I was in Ireland recently, I was at a new wine event in Ireland. I heard a lovely testimony, true story testimony, of a girl who's now a mature lady whose life had been transformed through the voice of an individual. She was born with a cleft palate, and she went through school as a young girl feeling rejected, isolated, unworthy, the odd one out. She was ridiculed. She felt she could never achieve much, and her confidence was rock bottom, and her self-image was devastated through being born with a cleft palate. And she said, but all this changed one day through one individual teacher. And she was in a class where the teacher had a habit, well, what she had to do, she did a regular ear test for her children in the class. And she used to periodically call children up, and they would stand up the front. And of course, this girl dreaded this, because being at the front and being exposed and everybody, she dreaded that whole experience. But this teacher called the children up one by one, and she would whisper in their ear something quiet, and then they would have to repeat it. So she may call Johnny up and say to Johnny, the sky. Can you hear me? The sky is blue. And he would whisper in her ear back, the sky is blue. And then she would whisper to another child, the cows in the field are hungry. And he would whisper in her ear, the cows in the field are hungry. So she would know if the boys or girls could hear, and she would just do this simple hearing test. And then she pulled this little girl, Mary, up, who had a cleft palate, knowing how vulnerable and insecure and self-conscious she felt. She pulled her up to the front because it was her turn. And she whispered in her ear, I wish you were my little girl. I wish you were my little girl. And that voice of longing and love and acceptance and approval changed the way she viewed about herself. She realized that she was lovable, and it changed her life. And she wrote a book about it. There are three voices that we really need to hear, or three messages that we really need to hear from the voice of God. And choose to listen to those messages more than any other self-talk that comes into our own thinking. The first one is the voice of love. We were created and designed to be loved. And we must allow our minds and hearts to be loved by God. We must allow ourselves to receive and accept the love of God unconditionally. I chose you, says Jesus. You did not choose me. I chose you. I have chosen you to bear fruit. I have loved you. Since the first moment he conceived you in his mind, he loved you. From the moment you were a single cell in your mother's womb, he loved you unconditionally. He has longed for the day that you are adopted into his family as a child of God. He looked forward to the day when you said, Jesus, I will believe in you. I will turn to you. I will follow you. And in that moment, you became a child of God through receiving Christ. He has been longing for that day. He looked forward to that day. He anticipated it like a birthday. Now, I know Flick, she likes birthdays. You are banging on about your birthday every single day. It was approaching. It was my birthday suit. It was my birthday suit. You're longing for your birthday. The Father longs and has been yearning and looking forward to your birthday, the day you were born into the family of God, since before creation began. Since the beginning of eternity, from before time, he has been looking, saying, I can't wait for the day that you become my child, that I can lavish my love upon you. Oh, this is what John says. Oh, what manner of love is this, that we should be called the children of God? This is how much God loves us, that whilst we were yet sinners, rebellious, doing our own thing, ignoring him, not giving him any consideration, Christ died for us. Total unconditional love. He died whilst you were not giving anything back. When you didn't have any intention of giving anything back to God, not even a thank you, not even an acknowledgement that he existed, Not even a thought of obedience. Actually, even when you were determined to run away and go in the opposite direction, he still showed his love for you and died for you, just in case you might change your mind. He loves you unconditionally. I wish you were my little boy. I'm going to do everything I can to make it possible, just in case there's a flicker one day where you go, God. And you did. And maybe some here today haven't yet. He loves you. And as Christ spread out his arms on the cross to receive you back 2,000 years ago, his arms are still wide, wide open. Every day, for every one of us. And we need to hear the voice of God every day and change our self-talk that I am unlovable to God cannot help but love me. Oh, he can't help it. There's nothing you can do. Can't help it, Sean. Can't help it. Because he is love. He would have to deny himself. He would have to become something else in order to stop loving you. He would have to have a total change of nature. Can a leopard change its spots, says the Bible? No. A leopard can't change its spots because it's a leopard and it's spotty. Can God stop loving you? No, because God is love. He can't. He loves you. And that's the first voice we need to hear every day for our confidence and our security and our peace, not only to return, but to remain with us. He loves you. The second voice is very similar, and they're all linked, but they all come from the river of love. And it's something that most of us need to work on, and it's this, very similar. It's the voice of approval. Not only does he love you, but he approves of you. How could that be possibly so? I know what I'm like. How can God approve of me? How can God put his seal of approval on you? Well, he can, and this is how he does it. When Jesus rose out of the waters of baptism, a voice boomed from heaven for all to hear, and he says, "This is my beloved Son. This is the one I love. With him I'm well pleased." Or, "On him my favor rests." God spoke the voice of love over his Son, just like he speaks the voice of love over each one of us. But he also spoke the voice of approval. In Christ, we're approved. The Bible says that through our faith in Christ, not only can we experience the love that he already has for us, but in Christ, all that is Jesus becomes ours. Everything that is said over Jesus, everything that Jesus is and achieves now becomes mine. I am one with Christ. I am in Christ. He says, your life is hid in Christ, in God. It's in the book of Colossians. Your life is hid in Christ, in God, through faith. So the moment I put my faith in Christ, my life, this is Jesus. I believe in Jesus. He takes you. The moment you put your faith in Christ and turn to him, he takes you and he puts you and you don't bounce out again in Christ. So, the approval that is over Christ is now over you, because where are you? You're in Christ. He says, "Alan, this is my Son with whom I'm well pleased. Yo." I'm well pleased. This is my son, Alan, and my favor rests on him. The same favor that is upon Christ, the same approval that's on Christ, is upon you. And the great thing is, it doesn't come down to our performance. It's not like a balancing act, walking a tightrope. Oh, I hope I don't, you know, step out of the will of God and mess up. I'm in favor. Oh, I'm out of favor. Oh, I'm in favor. You can't live life like that, can you? Do you know, if you live life like that, it'll make you mentally challenged. No, it will. Who can live like that, trying to every day win the approval of the most important person in the universe and not be robbed of peace and security and mental well-being? Who can live like that? God knows you can't. So he's done something about it. Whilst we were yet sinners, he died for us. And through our faith, he takes us and places us in Christ. That all, and this is, I love this verse, all that is Christ's is ours. He who did not spare his son, shall he not give us all things? Listen, he gave his son for you. His son was crucified and butchered on the cross by the Romans. He was flogged and tortured so that you could be adopted as his son. He has given his son for you. How much more will he not give you all things? The approval of God, the favor of God, the pleasure of God is all over you. It's all over you because it was all over Christ. And what is Christ is now yours because your life is hid in him. Now, there's some self-talk going on right now. And there's self-talk that says, oh, that can't be true of me. We have to reject everything that would sabotage that liberating truth that brings you freedom, that God loves you and you're approved and favored in Christ. For Jesus says, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. You have to know the truth, know that fact. And there's a battle going on in the mind. And it's what we think about ourselves because of our culture, our background, what other people have said, playground talk, our limitations that we see in our own eyes, or what God says. Choose whom you will believe this day, because it will affect the rest of your lives. And it's the voice of approval that we need to hear. Faith brings us into the favor, the approval of God. You are God's favorite. You're God's favorite. At the back, you're God's favorite. You're God's favorite. He's got a bunch of favorites. You say, God doesn't have favorites. Yes, he does. And you're his favorites. Because you're in the favor of God through Christ. And it's undeserved and it's unconditional. And what brings it to you is faith in him. And it's real. And it's for you. You've got to listen to that voice. Because if you listen to that voice, it'll give you confidence. It'll put your heart at peace. It'll extract the fear out of your soul like an aching tooth is extracted at the dentist. But it won't be painful. It'll be a blessed relief. Fear or safety? Fear or security? What voice are you going to listen to? Shall I give you another one? Last one? Yeah. The voice of assurance. So we've got the voice of love, the voice of approval, and the voice of assurance. I will be with you to the very end. I will be with you to the other end. Now, this is a really interesting one, because there's a sense in which we want to walk closely with Jesus. He says, abide in me and I will abide in you. follow me, and we follow him through faith. And then he also says, go, and as you go, I will be with you. And as we go, he will be with you. You can't hide. You can't run away. He will be with you. And he says, all that God gives me, I shall not lose, and nothing shall pluck them out of my hand. Isaiah says that he has engraved you in the palms of his hands. He's engraved you. He's gone to the tattoo artists of the universe. He's got your name. He says, what name do you want? He says, Laura. Jez. Wanda. Simon. Engraved. He's engraved your name, Tammy, on his hands. Tattoo. Cool, that's a bit risky. What if you break up? He's not going to. He says, I'm not going to break up. He says, yeah, but what if they get snatched out of your hand? They can't. I can't. I got them. Nothing can pluck them out of my hand. Got you. Just safe. For eternity. Didn't suffer on the cross to lose you. Now I got you. I didn't suffer and go through that to lose you. Got you. The voice of assurance. In your darkest moments, he's with you. When you feel your worst, he's with you. When you feel at your most despairing, he's with you. When you feel that you've messed up big time and there's no way back, he's with you. He's with you. Every time, he's with you. Where can I go from God? If I go to the farthest ends of the universe, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths of the sea, you are there. If I go to the darkest place, even the darkness is like light to you, O Lord. Why? Because he's there with you. It's a voice of assurance. It's a voice of assurance. It's a voice you need to hear. And when all the voices come in that would rob you of your assurance, who are you going to listen to? Who are you going to listen to? Because who you listen to, the voice that you listen to, will determine how you live, the quality of your life, and whether you're going to stay in the wine press or you're going to get out and go. Go in this might of yours, you mighty warrior. Go. I am with you. There's a voice of assurance to you today, and he wants you to hear it. When all is not working for you, and that's what the voice says, your voice, all is not working, all is going wrong, there's a voice of assurance that says, all things work together for the good. For those who love the Lord, called according to his purpose. When all is going wrong, there's another voice that says, actually, even though you can't see it, and you don't know how it's going to pan out, if you just listen to the voice of faith and the voice of assurance, you will look back and you will see how God has orchestrated all things to work for your good. It's the voice of assurance. You are never a lost cause. There is never a lost cause. And you are never alone. So Gideon had a challenge to stay in the wine press of his own thoughts, or to step out of it and become the person that God saw him as and had created him to be. You and I have that same challenge every single day. Right now, sitting in these seats, oh, I'm pumped up for that. I'm inspired by those thoughts. And, you know, you can feel the faith rising and the positivity rising. Great, this is Sunday morning. But tomorrow it's Monday. Tomorrow the alarm will go at 7 o'clock or 6:30 or 7:30. And the kids will be in screaming and the traffic jam will be full on. And you've got things to do. Tomorrow is Monday. It matters what you do on Monday. And it's a matter of retraining our thinking. And I'm going to finish on this one thought, because this is important. When Jesus says repent, the Greek word is change your mind. So I'm going to say to you and I, what we must do, we must repent. Change your mind. Change the way you think. And it starts with believing God. It always starts with believing God, believing the voice, believing Scripture, believing the Word of the Holy Spirit. That's where it starts. Everything starts with the voice. In the beginning, God said. Starts with the voice. Gospel of John. The Logos, the Word, the voice became flesh. It starts with the voice. I heard of one. There was a voice crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Starts with the voice. Jesus came out of the wilderness preaching, voicing the kingdom of God. Starts with the voice. Hebrews, in past times God has spoken in various ways, but in these days he has spoken through his Son. There's a voice. It's the voice of love and approval and assurance. A voice. So, repent, believe the voice. What does repent mean? I reject the wrong voice. I accept the right voice. And retrain your faculties, your thinking. Retrain your thinking to continually have a new default. New default. You know, when I go to my computer sometimes, I change the default mechanism. Yeah, so when I come up, there's a different default on it. We were born with a default to the negative. Now we've got to retrain to go to a right default of the voice of God. And I'm going to finish with this illustration so you get it. There was a farmer who had a farm. He had a big barn on the one side where he used to drive his tractor. And he had a cottage on the other side. Every morning, because it was a working farm, he would drive his big tractor down this muddy track, and he would turn right to where the barn was. Day after day, week after week, month after work, year after year. After many, many years, he would get in the tractor, and there were such big grooves, tractor marks, down the muddy trail, that he really didn't even have to turn the wheel of the tractor because it did it automatically, because he had created grooves with a particular consistent direction in his tractor travel. One day, he decided to sell the farm. He didn't sell it to a farmer. He sold it to a lady who didn't have a tractor but had a mini, tiny little mini. So she bought the farm. And what happened is that when she went down, not wanting to go to the barn, because it's now she didn't want to make it a working farm, she wanted a place to live, she actually intended to go left. But she found that she went right. She wanted to go right, left to the cottage, but she went right into the barn because the tractor grooves were so strong that it automatically took her to a particular direction. And she realized that if I want to actually turn this little mini into the cottage, I am going to have to exert some extra thought, intentional strength to turn the mini against the way it automatically will go because of the past tracks. So she went down and she got over and she made a little indentation. But the following day, she forgot about it and she went back to the barn again. She said, oh no, I'm going to have to think about this every day. And so she thought about it every day and she went over a little bit. And it was a struggle at first and it demanded some energy. And sometimes she went over, but oh, she didn't quite get it, but she went into the barn. But it did actually make a little indentation, but she still went the way she didn't want to go. But she was determined. And every day she tried. Then after a number of months, she found that she had worn a new groove. She had made a new track. And because she consistently chose not to go towards the barn, but consistently chose to go towards the cottage, the new living space, she found that she created a new track that after a year or two, she could almost go down that track with taking her hand off the wheels because she'd made a new groove and it would turn quite naturally to the left, to the cottage and not to the right. That's what the Bible calls, that's an illustration for calling the renewing of the mind. Be transformed by the renewal of mind. Change the way you think. You are continually identifying where you don't want to go. And you are choosing to identify where you want to go in your thinking. I reject that I'm not lovable. I reject that I'm not approved. I reject that God is not with me and for me in all things. I reject that. And I choose to turn my mind mentally in my prayer and in my worship, in my Bible, in my inner thought every day to thank God and accept from God by faith that he loves me unconditionally. I'm unconditionally approved and he is with me forever, working all things for my good. And as you think, so you will be. And your emotions and your decisions will begin to reflect the new self-talk, and you will walk out of the pit of defeat into the expanse of God's fullness and blessing and begin to live well. And that's what Gideon did. And at first he struggled. And he says, I'm not quite sure. Will you give me a sign? And God gave him a sign. And fire came and burnt up some bread. And he says, will you give me another sign? He put a fleece out. Do you remember he put a fleece out? It was wet in the morning and dry in the grass. And even after that, he says, well, okay, let's reverse it, Lord. And now it'll be dry. The fleece will be dry in the morning and you know, wet on the grass or whatever. And so he reversed it. And even then he wasn't convinced. And he says, give me another sign. He says, okay, God says, if you're still struggling, go down to the camp of the enemy, listen at the tent, and you will hear about a dream I've given somebody about what's going to happen. And he went down. After four occasions, four signs, eventually he started to believe God. That's how resistant our minds are. That's how stubborn our default mechanisms are. That God had to say four times. And that's just a symbol and a sign and an example that we have to be listening to God and allowing God to convince us through his word and his spirit daily, 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 because we don't get it first time. It's a lifetime of being renewed and changed. And I want to encourage you, no matter how young you are, Sam, or how mature we are, I want to encourage you that we have got an eternity ahead of us to explore the fullness and the blessing of God. So it's never too late and it's never too early to start. And it starts with you and I today. Amen.